Welcome back to Organic Matters here on KVLF. Now let's get back to the show and talk a little bit about one of my favorite, well, one of the subjects I worry about a lot, and that's our native bees.
Mm-hmm.
Bees throughout the entire United States, they've lost between 50 and 90% of our populations in the past 6 months. We already had a problem, and it's getting worse. It's perplexing. I use big words sometimes.
I'm
the scientist. And, of course, honey prices are going to really fly. In case you don't realize, folks, we don't survive very well without bees.
This is true.
Yeah, three-quarters of the world's 250,000, quarter of a million flowering plants need bees in order to be pollinated. Where my brain is this morning. Including all your fruits.
Words.
Yeah, including almost all your fruits and vegetables. They require this guy running around and getting in trouble in your flower and going to the next flower and spreading their pollen. According to Dr. May, and I'll never say, Barenbaum, I can say that.
That is good.
Head of the Department of Entomology at the University of Illinois, they believe the economic impact on the decline of bees could possibly be disastrous to the food chain. Now, what's happening? One might ask.
All right.
Over the past two decades, concern has arisen. We already saw this coming 20 years ago, of the decline of pollinators of all descriptions. And during this period, the United States, the honeybee, which incidentally isn't a native.
He's
an introduced bee.
Okay.
And the world's premier pollinator experience overall in this whole 20 years has dropped over 40%. We used to have nearly 6 to 8 million bees, which is still not a lot, considering what they got to do. Mm-hmm. Now there's less than 2.5 million in the United States. That's not very many bees. Why? First, there's a mite problem. The varroa mite. And there's also a gut mite that fit in these guys that for years, here we go again with our infinite wisdom, we have put miticides on the colonies that we grow to suppress the varroa mite.
Okay.
Well, he's evolved not to be hurt by the miticide. This is another deal where chemistry is not a good, better living through chemistry. All he's done now is evolved not to be hurt by the chemistry. Now, in order to kill him, we have to use miticides that are so strong, they also either cripple or kill the bee. So that ain't going to work.
Right.
All right. And then the bigger problem, and this is the one that they've just come up with that I'm going to go this direction because I like to pick on people.
Okay.
In the gut of the bees that are having trouble, they're finding genetically modified pollens from these GM plants that we thought the government has told us are harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Splenda to our body. These bees don't know how to use this pollen.
Okay.
It stays in their gut and goes out their other end and doesn't do anything to nourish or take care of them. So what they're thinking about now is with 60% of the soybeans, most all of our corn and most of our other crops being GM'd, genetically modified, we're modifying products to the point that the bee can't survive on them.
So the bee is becoming malnourished because it can't
process? Exactly. They say the bee's starving to death, and they thought there wasn't enough around. But he's not starving because he's not getting enough. He's getting things that it'd be like you and I eating rocks.
Right.
The rock goes through, but it don't do us a lot of good.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this GM thing is. And we're the only major country that is having GM put on us without even telling us. If you're in Europe and they happen to GM soybeans, it has to say, these soybeans have genetically modified, then you make your decision.
Right.
Well, our government decided we didn't need to know that. Matter of fact, I heard a lady argue about it. She said, we can't put too much on these. She didn't want me to tell me that the cows had been raised on grain. If they had more than 90 days of grain, no, you don't want to. The public doesn't need to know that, according to them. We'll take care of the public.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we're doing with GM. GM's a very bad idea whose time has arrived. Get away. I don't know how we're going to get away. We're going to have to injure ourselves. We're going to have to do some real damage to people in America before we find out that we shouldn't be eating and using genetic commodities. And I don't know what the advantage is. It's a little here and a little there. The big thing was cotton. I guess I better do this and we'll break away. They started GM in cotton years ago. They spliced a gene in that allowed the cotton not to be killed by glyphosate, which is Roundup.
Right.
Sounds safe, right? It lowered the weed populations around the cotton, that the beneficials that used to live there and help take care of the boll weevils and everything no longer can exist there. So now what do they have to do? Put on more herbicide to keep other weeds down. The weeds have now become herbicide resistant. So I got to do what? Put on more herbicide. So the promise of GMing this with the idea, they said that they would cut 30 to 40% of all herbicides and pesticides out of cotton by GMing the cotton. They're now up about 30 to 40% more per crop than they've ever used before because it's not working that way.
Because they're now fighting a more, a stronger, I guess, weed, basically.
Yeah, well, the weeds are becoming, they are. There's already a number of weeds, including pigweed, and the number of sunflowers that are now glyphosate resistant.
Yeah.
So now what do? You bring in another poison. They'll love it, because you know what Monsanto will do? They'll make another poison to sell by the millions of acres.
Well, wasn't one of the arguments against the genetically modified plant that if a disease insect that was resistant came in, that it would wipe out the entire crop?
Because exactly.
They're all the same? I mean, there's no
they're cloned
plant
almost.
With little variations right. to survive.
Yeah. We, you remember the butter commercial? You can't better not, what is it? Don't mess with Mother Nature.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. It was a very profound statement that we're going to learn the hard way from as we approach 9 billion people in the world. We're at 6 billion now, folks. We're going to be at 9 billion way quick. It's kind of like the reverse feedback. The more we get, the faster it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took us 100 years or 150 to get the first billion from a few hundred thousand. Then it just took 40 years. Then it just took 30 years. The next one's going to take 15 or 18 years.
What are they talking about, 2020, something like that?
Oh, yeah, you're going to have another billion easy.
Yeah.
But by we're going to have 9 billion, it looks like top out about 2050, 2060.
Wow.
And by top out, the scientists, and you got to believe somebody, they don't think we can carry them anymore. The aquarium's full at 9 billion. Something will happen. We'll level out.
Yeah.
Which still doesn't sound good. You know, we need to do this radio with pictures.
Yes.
I think they call it TV. But anyway, then they could see all this stuff I carry with me. Let me give you my, since I told you I live in a wooden house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually made out of like hardy sideboard from Southwest. And but the floors are wooden that I stole from a barn. Now, these are not wooden floors like you see in the million-dollar homes here on Newton Hill or whatever it is up there, you know. Wherever that guy is.
Yeah.
Isn't he a tennis player or something?
Newton Hill?
Newton, what is
it? Oh, Newcomb.
Newcomb.
Newcomb, yeah.
Yeah, Newcomb if you can. If not, just blast him. But anyway, rather than commercial floor cleaners,
mm-hmm.
this is one thing my wife found, so I'll give her credit where credit's due. She takes a quarter cup of white vinegar, a gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
She'll add a little bit of Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap because it smells good, and it's a very good cleanser.
Okay.
And then if she really has a really, like a sticky spot where I like spilt the banana juice and didn't tell her for a week, she'll actually take and rub it separate. But ordinarily, she just mops it down, and it fully, quote unquote, the luster of the wood is fully restored, and the room is filled with a light, clean smell.
Who are you quoting there?
My wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does it, you have quotes from your wife?
Well, I don't see her often.
I see.
Yeah. Here's how bad it is at our home. We sit on the couch together, folks. This is nerdom at its best. And we email each other. She'll say, well, you got to know this. You got to take care of this, Bella. And I said, send it to me. So she's sitting 3 feet away.
Okay.
And I'm sitting over here with laptops. She says, can you get this image? Mostly in our shorts or underwear. And then we email each other. They'll probably quit listening to me at that because that doesn't
ain't
sound
love. I don't know what is.
That's love in the fast lane. So anyway, folks, about a cup of white vinegar to a gallon of water. Add a little bit of a good soap. Again, I like Dr. Bronner's because it's certified organic. Smells good. You can brush your teeth with it, wash your hair with it, clean your floor with it, and you don't need all that chemistry stuff that you can't even see the names of. That's not good for you, your children, your pets, or the air around you.
And it gives a peppermint aroma.
Is that Well, you can actually get eucalyptus or a bunch, but I like peppermint because it's. It's the one he first had out, and he really do. I wasn't joking. I actually have carried it with me to brush my teeth. It tastes okay for soap. You can wash your hair, brush your teeth, wash your body, wash your dog, and scrub your floor with it. All in one little bottle.
Multi-purpose
and very inexpensive. It's about $8 or $9 for a pint or maybe even half a pint, but it's like a teaspoon or less for each gallon you do.
So it'll last
a while. Makes 8, 10, 12 gallons of cleanser for $8. You can't blame it.
And if you're an advocate or if you believe in aromatherapy, isn't peppermint, that aroma supposed to enhance thinking power or something like that?
Yeah, you know, I believe in trying anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I am from Missouri. I'm really not, but their quote is the show me state.
Right.
And so if anybody can really prove aromatherapy to me, I'd love to learn it. I'm not against. I mean, there's things I never believed that I do believe now.
Right.
Like paramagnetics in soil. When Malcolm Beck started telling me that paramagnetics did something for the plant, I said, Malcolm, you've been smoking something. Although he never did. But we did it. And we did a number of studies. And we did it with and without the paramagnetics. And by golly, some magical reason, the plant grew better in this paramagnetic material.
I've heard him speak of that, yes.
Yeah. And we even did it this way. Everybody said, well, it's the minerals. You know, there's more minerals in it because it's usually lava rock or something. So what Malcolm did is take a bunch of Kodak film containers and buried them all around the plant. it wasn't touching the soil.
Mm-hmm.
It still grew better.
Really?
So it definitely was some kind of relationship where this stuff was not interacting with the soil, but there was something going on.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gone already? No, I don't know what you mean. Yeah. I'm just teasing you. Yeah. Okay. He's held up peace sign. Are we at war? No, he meant 2 minutes.
Doing my Churchill impression.
Oh, yeah. What We Worry? Remember? Newman?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, organic kiwi fruit, they've discovered, is not even normal. Some fruits are a little better for you if they're organic. Yeah, we all know that. Mm-hmm. But organic kiwi fruit, for some reason, is much healthier than its conventional counterpart. There's a big U.S. study conducted that has concluded this, and they're not sure why the difference is so great. I mean, a lot of, you know, if you eat, organic apples are way better for you because right. they're the most poisoned, one of the two or three most poisoned fruits or vegetables you can eat in America, so don't do that. But the kiwi that's organically grown, it like doubles and triples the good stuff in it, the phytochemicals and everything.
Oh, interesting.
So it's another one that if you're going to buy kiwis, and I love them, I'm going to try to grow some. See, there's cold-hearted kiwis.
Oh, really?
To 12 degrees. They're not quite as big and pretty as the ones you and I know, but they taste as good. Matter of fact, one guy says they taste better.
I'd plant them day after tomorrow, though.
Well, I won't be planting them tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to get them started. So anyway, if you're going to buy kiwi fruit, buy the organic one. All right. He says I got 1 minute to do a fast.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I got something here that I can do real fast.
Down to 45 seconds.
Okay, here's my 45-second one. You're counting, aren't you?
Yes.
No more Kleenex on in Aspen. You can't bring any Kleenex from Kimberly Clark or anybody to the aspirin anymore.
Is that right?
There's so doggone much of it around that it's nasty. So they're using organic tissues only in the area. Okay? And they claim just the ones that if you would just all of us quit using one napkin a day, more or less, that you could save 87,000 trees or 226,500 cubic feet of landfill.
Wow.
So quit blowing your nose on Kimberly Clark.